Maybe you remember Charlotte's LGBT History exhibit from a few years ago. The project from UNC Charlotte was the brainchild of Joshua Burford, an LGBT historian and professor at the university. The exhibit detailed the lives and activism of LGBT people in Charlotte dating back to the 1940s. At the end of this month, Burford will be leaving Charlotte to return to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where he grew up. This week, he's the guest on WFAE's Southbound podcast with host Tommy Tomlinson, and we have an excerpt in which Burford tells one of his favorite stories unearthed from Charlotte's past.
I think one of the stories that we've uncovered with the help of some colleagues on the West Coast is the story of Maxine Perkins.
Charlottean, right?
And so she was a trans woman in the 60s. She was described in the newspaper as notorious. And I mean, I think at the time what they meant was that she wasn't ashamed.
Right.
It was, you know, the idea. And so she was a lot of things. I mean, she was someone's sister. She was, you know, someone's friend. But she was able to come to a sense of her identity as Maxine in a time where trans identity was ephemeral at best and really only existed in sort of dark spaces, and you just didn't see trans people. And so she's arrested outside of a bar in Uptown for engaging in consensual sex with someone that she had just met. And they go to court, and the guy that she was with pleads guilty immediately. Like, he's ashamed and embarrassed, and they're going to print his name in the newspaper, which they always did when people were arrested,
sure,
as a way of shaming. And so he got like 5 months suspended sentence, probation, and community service. And so her turn comes, and she's sitting, you know, behind the defendant's desk, and the judge keeps saying, you know, "Max, do you have anything to say?" And so he's misgendering her and then dead naming her in court, and she doesn't answer. And then he says, "Max, Max, Max," all these times. And then finally, when he realizes she's not going to respond, he says, "Maxine, do you have anything to say for yourself?" And she says, "Actually, yes." And so she sits there, right, like potentially one of the most vulnerable populations at the time, and stands up for herself and denies that she did anything wrong, that there was anything incorrect or immoral about her behavior, that her name was indeed Maxine and they should spell it correctly in the newspaper. And she gets sentenced to like 35 years to life in prison. And so she serves, because at the time in North Carolina, there were two sentences for sodomy, right? So, you know, sex and same-sex people. One was the death penalty, which hadn't been used since the colonial days. And then the other was life in prison.
So those were your choices.
Those were your choices, death or life in prison, right? For a lot of people, the same sentence, really. And so she goes to prison, to a men's prison. And then a few years later, a group recovers her story. They find a judge in Asheville and bring it to him. And he says, "This is ridiculous. No human should get this kind of sentence for what should be at best potentially a misdemeanor." And so her sentence is vacated. She's retried and then found not guilty. And so just in those 3 years, she was not a trailblazer. She wasn't an activist. She was trying to make it. She was trying to get people to use her correct pronouns. She's trying to get people to use her name. And she becomes this, for me, I mean, for a lot of people, this sort of flashpoint for all the ways we were wrong about our own history, that these people didn't exist. It turns out they do. It turns out they had difficult lives and bad things happened to them, and they persevered. And Maxine's story to me is just, it's a constant reminder of all the things that I don't know. And we're still finding out stuff about her. And so again, that idea, right, that story existed, it's a Charlotte story, but the narrative lived someplace else. And we were able to bring that back to the South. And now I hope use that story to inspire young trans people to like see like what is possible. That these are what your ancestors look like. This is what they were doing, and do that with them.
That's Joshua Burford, an LGBT historian who is soon leaving for Alabama to do queer history work there. He was talking on WFAE's podcast, Southbound. There's much more in the full episode, including an examination of the roles LGBT people have had to play in the South and lovelorn poetry read from a 100-year-old diary. The episode is released Wednesday.